Well, Father, I look around about me here tonight, and these people really do love you, and they came out to sit in your presence and to be fed fresh manna from heaven. And Father, I'm asking you right now to do exactly that. You know, you already had the service all planned. So, Father God, carry out your plan. And we are just your vessels that we are saying you can work through. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus, your Holy Spirit, and your angelic host. And Father God, let your Spirit fall upon your people right now. Just flow through them right now, Father, in a way that they've never felt you flow through them before. Change and rearrange, Father God, whatever the enemy threw their way during the week. And Father God, all those that are downcast, I'm asking, Father God, that you give them the joy of the Lord right now, and that they rise up out of the stupor that they're in, and they walk in pure and total joy. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, mark your calendars, because we're going to have a women's conference on April the 27th. It's a Saturday. And Sister Catherine Gore, Reverend Catherine Gore, is going to be doing that. That's April the 27th. All right. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about what God is doing. You know, I'm excited the fact that he loves us so much that he never leaves us nor forsakes us. Well, welcome to all you that have come out tonight. Some I've seen quite often, others I've just seen every now and then. But, you know, God's in the house, and whatever you were coming for, he has it for you. Well, when I asked God what to give you guys, he finally gave it to me 1 o'clock this morning, and he just said, fragrance of God. So this is not nearly enough time, to get it down in all of its importance, but there's a little bit of things here that we're going to talk about. Now, this is where I think that God is going to move. I really believe that you're going to start smelling the fragrance of God as you sit here and listen to this teaching. And remember, I said I was in my study a couple of days ago and I smelt that fragrance. And God told me it was honeysuckles. And so today I said, God, was I a forerunner? I mean, I know you all have smelled fragrances, but God has done a new thing now. And was I a forerunner and you let me smell first? All right. Let's just talk about the divine gift of fragrance. In Exodus 30, chapter 30, verse 1, says, and you shall make an altar to burn incense upon, of acacia wood you shall make it. So I read all of Exodus 30, so this is what it says. In Exodus 30, God gives instructions for the building of the altar of incense, formulas for the incense and how to offer it before the Lord. Aaron received direction for the placement of the altar of incense before the mercy seat, where God would meet with him there. Now, I just want to stop her, because we know that Sister Nancy makes the oils, and she puts a fragrance in it God tells her to make. So they're not the everyday oils that you buy online or out on a store. They're actually what she gets from God, and then she mixes the fragrances as he tells her to. So they're special oils, and they're for a special reason. All right, so twice per day, morning and twilight, there's priests burn incense and met with the Lord. God had a signature scent that we know contained frankincense, but the other ingredients remain debated. I looked this up, and this is what I found out. So only this compound incense burned on the altar representing God's presence. So just a certain ingredient was the only thing they could use, and it represented God being there. All right, the fragrance surely drifted out of the tabernacle, and the people identified the scent with the presence of God. In other words, you know, we all know that that essence didn't stay inside of that building. It had to go out, all right? So the fragrance of the incense rising upwards reminded the people God heard their prayers as he issued them upward to him. So was God telling me that day when I smelt that fragrance that he was hearing what I was saying to him? I really believe with every fiber of my being, and I'm hearing God saying, you're accurate, that as you're praying, you're going to hear that, you're going to smell the essence of God, and you're going to know that God is with you, and God is hearing everything that you're saying to him. All right. From this moment forth, I truly do believe that. In the context of scripture, there are several references to fragrance that symbolize spiritual significance. Let's explore a few of them. 2 Corinthians 2:15, for we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. This verse highlights how believers, as followers of Christ, emit a sweet aroma to God. It signifies our connection to Christ and our role in spreading his message of salvation. So the scripture said, for we are a fragrance, you and I, we carry a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved. So when you go to an unsaved person, they're going to smell the fragrance of God on you. They're going to see the fragrance of God on you. It's not only a smell thing, it's a see thing too. Ephesians 5:12. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. It says, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. And when you do that, then you have the fragrance of God on you all the time. Here in this scripture, the concept of imitating God and living a life of love is compared to a pleasing fragrance offered to God. Do you know that God is watching everything you do all day long? And when you're walking in love and when you're walking in forgiveness, that's a sweet smelling essence unto God's nostrils, and he blesses you. Did you understand that? If you're a person's walk around in hate and discord all the time, that definitely is not a sweet-smelling essence to God, and he's not going to bless you, and you're not going to win souls that way. Proverbs 27:9 says, oil and perfume make the heart glad, so a man's counsel is sweet to his friend. This verse metaphorically associates oil and perfume with joy and pleasantness, emphasizing the impact of kind words and wise advice. And, you know, because this is called the fragrance of God, I was sitting in the front seat and Gabriel was sitting behind me. He said, close your eyes. And so I closed my eyes. Yeah, I'm shut. I said, yes. And he put his hand up to my nose. He said, what do you smell? And I said, smells to me like grease and oil. And I opened my eyes and it was money. And so that would smell like that, you know. But I just thought that was neat. I was going to teach on this. And he said, close your eyes. And he said, what do you smell? And, you know, and he likes different colognes. And I thought he got a new cologne. Oh, he did. Money. All right. So Ephesians 5:2 says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So it says, walk in love as Christ has also hath walked. You know, I don't know how you're feeling right now, you know, in everyday life. I have such a heart for the people who are hurt. I have such a heart for people who don't know Christ like we know Christ. And God actually has me sit and cry for these people and pray for these people. And, you know, and I have a heart for them, but I don't have the heart for the saved who aren't walking in what they know to walk in. You know, God doesn't have my heart there. Right now, he has my heart in these people that he's sending into us. I don't care if it's somebody in your workplace. I don't care if it's somebody out you meet in the marketplace. You know, God wants you to have a heart for them. And there's just different things I just have to pray for. You know, people I don't even know. But I hear others talk about them, and I start crying, and I just have to pray for these people because they don't know what we know. And so they're walking in all that pain because they don't know how to get out of it. And you know, I'm hearing God saying, I want each one of my children to have a true heartfelt love for the lost and the dying, for that is the only way you're going to bring the harvest in. So if God's working on you in that way, then please yield to God. Cry for the people, cry for the lost, and pray for them. and send the holy angels to them to minister love, you know, and let them know that there is a God who cares. You know, church, we need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to the basics of not caring about ourselves, but being concerned about what others are going through. And even new converts are going through junk that they don't know how to get out of. And we need to have a compassion for them where God can use us to pray for them. You know, I don't know about you, but this is how God works with me. You know, for a day or two, I'll have somebody on my spirit. And like I had somebody on my spirit for 2 days. And so I called him right before I come to church. And I said, honey, I just want to call it. You know, I love you. And he said, why, is something wrong with you? And I said, no, you've just been in my spirit for 2 days. And it's just love's been welling up inside of me. I just had to tell you that. It was one of my grandsons. And he said, mom, I love you too. And it really means a lot that you called and told me that tonight. See, so, you know, we have to act on this. You know, we have to, when God lays a person in your heart, in your spirit, and he won't let it go, and you feel all that love for that person, you're supposed to call them and tell them how much you love them. Because somewhere along the line, they don't feel that love. Somewhere along the line, they feel like, who cares about me? And we have to be the ones to let them know that we care, you know. That they're really, we have to let them know they're the center of our life at times. And you'd be surprised how whenever you call them, you can hear what they're not saying. And what you feel whenever you tell them you love them, and you're surprised what that does to you. You know, we already know that God loves us. You want a deal, you come up here, God says, I want you to take the oil and I want you to anoint her head. And he said, that's the oil of joy that I'm putting on her tonight because she's a joy to me. So I got up and anointed her with oil. And, you know, if you ever notice when something like that happens, a person always cries. Why? Because the Holy Spirit touches them. You know, God needs a vessel to work through. Are you a vessel that God can work through? Are you a vessel of love and honor that he can just move upon you at any given time and have you just touch somebody else's life other than your own? We're in a love walk right now like we've never been in our life. And we have to go back to the basics. Genesis 8:21, when the Lord smelt the sweet odor, the Lord said to himself, never again will I curse the ground because of human beings. Since the desires of the human heart are evil from youth, nor will I ever again strike down every living being as I have done. When God smelt the sweet odor, it got to him and he said, I can't do this no more. I have such a love for these people. I have to love them and give them grace and more grace and more grace. Do you understand? In grace in you never wears out. It never wears out. Your love for people wears out, not the grace of God. We need to start being able to be with people as they are. And love them as they are until God brings them to where he wants them to be. Amen. There's not a perfect one of us in here tonight. We all have our flaws. Some just have more than others, or some just show them more than others. All right, these verses that we read metaphorically describe the lives of believers as a fragrant offering to God, akin to sweet-smelling incense. The aroma of Christ's sacrifice and love permeates our existence, impacting both those who are saved and those who are perishing. You know, as Adelia was laying there, God said, daughter, when I gave you the oil of joy, he said, I wanted you to pass it on to everybody else. It wasn't just for you. And I hope and I pray that this body of believers will do that tonight. I'm really believing that you're going to start smelling an essence of God, a sweet-smelling aroma, and it's going to change your heart where you're going to want to go out there and bless people and not curse them. All right, these scriptures use the imagery of fragrance to convey deeper spiritual truths and the relationship between believers and God. And God said, this is what God said to start with, but I put it here. God said, every relationship has a fragrance of love. I love my children unconditionally, and I will do anything to keep our relationship moving forward. Take, for instance, my love for you when you come to the altar and yield your members to me. I am there to meet you, and my aroma is placed on you for all to see. And God's talking to you, body of Christ. Let's read that again. Every relationship has a fragrance of love. I don't see that in the body of Christ. I love my children unconditionally, and I will do anything to keep our relationship moving forward. Do we do that? Do we do anything to keep our relationship moving forward? Do we put up with the unlovable? You know, that's what God puts up with me, and I'm unlovable at times. I won't put you in mixes. I know you're unlovable all the time, aren't you? All right. Then he says, take, for instance, my love for you. When you come to the altar and yield your members to me, I am there to meet you, and my aroma is placed on you for all to see. How many of you know that when these songs were all geared to encourage tonight? When God started, I said, okay, God, I see what you're doing. You're encouraging everybody that thinks they're not going to make it or who's been hit hard and doesn't know how to get back up. And you know, whenever you're down and out, please don't quit God. Yell, scream, kick the floor. I don't care what you do, but don't quit God. That's whenever you need to pull up a song. You have to have a song that you know lifts you up. You have to pull that song up and just keep singing it until you defeat the enemy. Amen. I'm going to tell you how good God is. Tonight, I wanted to teach on homosexuality and lesbianism. Because, you know, as you see in the world says it's fine. You know, and it's not fine. And all through the Bible, God destroyed two cities because of that. But all through the Bible, if you really read it in the Spirit, you'll see it was going on. But God didn't want me to preach something like that. He wanted you to know about the fragrance of God and His love for you. And if you really understand God's love for you, you won't want to sin. And I wasn't going to preach it because somebody in here is sinning. I'm just so tired of hearing the world say all that kind of stuff's all right, when the Bible definitely talks against it. But you know what? God's on a love walk now. And He just wants to love you into His kingdom. And if we can be just like Jesus, and if we can get on that love roll, that harvest is going to come in. It really is. But you have to determine, I'm going to walk the love walk. And I'm going to stay there no matter what. Sometimes when you stay on a love walk, it's the hardest thing you could ever do in your life. Because those unlovely ones become more unlovely. They really do. It's a fact. Isn't that a fact? It's a fact. It's a truth. Why do they do that? Because the enemy doesn't want you to be on your love walk. He's going to make sure he puts every obstacle in front of you he can to cause you not to love. And then if you bow to that thing, the soul you're trying to save, you lose. Because you can't love them unconditionally. 2 Corinthians. Well, God said, what is my aroma? What is my aroma? So I put down, God created man in His image, meaning we reflect God's attributes, though marred by sin since the fall. You know, don't you wish the fall would have never happened? As Christians, the Apostle Paul reminds us we are the aroma of the knowledge of God everywhere. 2 Corinthians, this is what Paul says. 2 Corinthians 2:13. But when I didn't find Titus waiting for me with news of your condition, I couldn't relax, worried about you. He's talking to the church, worried about you. I left and came on to Macedonia province looking for Titus and a reassuring word on you. And he said, I got it. Thank God. He wanted a reassuring word, and he got that word. In the Messiah, in Christ, God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. Through us, He brings knowledge of Christ. Everywhere we go, people breathe in the exquisite fragrance. Every place you go, the love of God should be just oozing out of your pores. That's a sweet-smelling essence. Because of Christ, we give off a sweet scent rising to God, which is recognized by those on the way of salvation, an aroma, I don't know what that word is, with life. And this is scripture we're reading. But those on the way to destruction treat us more like the stench from a rotting corpse. This is a terrific responsibility. Is anyone competent to take it on? No, but at least we don't take God's word, water it down, and then take it to the streets to sell it cheap. We stand in Christ's presence when we speak. God looks us in the face. We get what we say straight from God and say it as honestly as we can. Paul said, we're just come bringing you the truth in love the best way we know how. We're not Jesus, so we can't preach like Jesus, but we can sure try to be just like Jesus. In the same way the sweet essence burned in the tabernacle and temple signifies the presence of God, we bear the fragrance of God's presence. Have you ever been around anybody the minute they walk in the room? Okay. They bring all that darkness and gloom, doom and despair, and you're praying, oh God, don't let this last too long. Because you're sitting in the sweet presence of God, you know, and you're just really relaxing in his presence, and here comes the darkness. See, that's not God. We're supposed to carry light. We should carry a sweet presence so that we don't destroy the light in somebody else. All right, we bear witness of our relationship with God through Jesus Christ's victory as an aroma unto life for those who have yet to believe. I'm sorry, but if you come at me and you claim to go to church and you're cussing and drinking and carrying on like a fool and your face is all twisted like a sour pickle, I'm not going to want to hear anything you have to say about Jesus. Right? Come on. You're supposed to go to them with love, a face that has the Spirit of God on it, and victory in your voice, right? Come on. All right, but we also reflect back to God the sweet fragrance of Christ as essence on the altar. Because of the fragrance of God, consider that your presence bring God's presence to loved ones, colleagues, friends, and even those you barely know. The divine fragrance of love, grace, comfort, and salvation. Love, grace, comfort, and salvation, this is divine fragrance, becomes a gift we spread as a sweet savor unto God and others. You know, even though my first husband, he ran on me quite a bit and everything, he always treated me really super good. He would never, ever let anybody say anything bad about me. Even a pastor he confronted, he said, you're lying. My wife does not do that kind of stuff. She walks with God and God talks to her and she loves God and she loves people. She is not doing what you're accusing her of. See, even your enemy is going to stand up for you if you're really walking in the love that God wants you to walk in. All right, ponder the fragrance of your own life. Will others perceive the aroma of Christ and a knowledge of God about you? Why don't you think about this tonight? 2 Corinthians, we read it before, we're going to read again, 2:14-15. Everywhere we go, people breathe in the exquisite fragrance. Because of Christ, we give off a sweet scent rising to God, which is recognized by those on the way of salvation, an aroma redolent with life. You know, you can be so mad at somebody, you want to stick their head in a toilet and flush it. You know, when they're not near you. But when they come near you, you run up to them and hug them and tell them how much you love them. See, that's, you know, whenever you're by yourself and you think that kind of junk, that's not the presence of God, the sweet smelling aroma. But because you do walk in love, you know, when you're in their presence, all you want to do is love them because that's the Jesus in you. Does that make sense to you? Say yes, be honest, say yes, just say yes, thank you. Because I do get that way. And then I think I never want to talk to that person again. And here they come. And all I want to do is love him. I say, hi, I just love you so much because that's really God in me coming out. This other junk was a devil trying to destroy. So don't throw yourself out into the streets anymore because you have those feelings. Just tell the devil you're not going to let him use you in that manner anymore. And you're going to love no matter what happens. And you're not going to think bad thoughts about people, but you're going to think thoughts of love. Jesus always thinks thoughts of love about us, doesn't he? The Bible tells me that. He doesn't want to do anything to hurt me. I don't know about you. He doesn't want to do anything to hurt you. He only wants to love you. Will you let him love you tonight? You know, in all your mess, will you just let him love you? My prayer sometimes is, God, right now I'm very unlovable. But will you please love me? Because I really need love right now. And that's why I'm being unlovable. Did you know that about people? When they are the most unlovable is when they need your love the most. I want you to, if you remember that, you start treating people different. And, you know, sometimes when people's acting stupid, you know, it's because they're trying to work through something. They don't know how to get through it. But you know how to help them get through it. Quit coming against them. Help them get through it. You know God better than they do. You know, nothing's ever perfect except heaven. And I'm so glad some of you aren't going to go up to heaven right now, because you make it imperfect. That's including me too. God is trying to perfect us in love. And when we get perfected in love, believe me, you'll win soul after soul after soul to God. But because you're not perfected in love, we're not winning souls. All right, the Creator spoke into being every living thing in a moment. You know, when God created, He spoke everything in a moment into us. But in that moment, He breathed the complexity of His divine being into every living thing, including the sophistication of fragrances unique to each other. I wish we could love each other. I just really do wish the church could just drop all this facade that they have, and let's just love one another. When I first started the church, God said people in this generation then didn't know how to love. It was all lust. And I really think that lust magnified itself, and we still don't know how to love, but we know how to lust. And God's trying to destroy the lust and to bring love in its place. Peace is a perfume of God. When God is close to you, you smell His perfume, and this perfume is exquisite. It is beautiful. The senses dance, and life in that moment becomes complete. I know when I just smelled that day, it just, everything in the room changed. You know, the whole atmosphere changed. Experiencing the divine fragrance of God becomes as easy as a simple inhale. This beautiful aroma, this beautiful perfume is what our hearts should desire again and again and again. I just don't want that one-time experience. I want to smell the fragrance of God continually. And tonight, I know God is wanting to drop that fragrance on you so that you can walk in the love that God has called you forth to walk in. How many of you in here tonight, don't raise your hands, I want you to think about this, know that you don't walk in the proper love of God. Sometimes you use people with the pretense of love. If that's you, God wants that pretense right now. He wants to yank that out of you, and He wants true love in its place. He wants to take you out of the, this is what He's saying, He wants to take you out of the barren wilderness into His marvelous light, and He wants you to walk in that divine love for the rest of your life, never allowing anything to separate nor divide you from love.